Scripture readings today is Psalms 113 and Timothy 2 verses 1 through 7. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, you his servants. Praise the name of the Lord. Let the name of the Lord be praised both now and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is exalted over all the nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, the one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He sits with them with princes and princes of his people. He settles the childless woman in her home as a happy mother of children. Praise the Lord. I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made to all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all the goodness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to all at the proper time. And for this purpose, I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying. A true and faithful teacher of the Gentiles. We ask God to bless these words to our hearts and our minds.
Good morning, Lord. We are here to listen. We are here to understand and to grow in our faith and our acceptance of those around us. You bend down to raise up the poor people and the needy people, the challenged and the oppressed. You bend down and raise up the grateful people, the joyous people, and the caring people. You raise all people. You call leaders to lead. You call teachers to teach. And you call all of us to continue our journey, to share our prayers, to share our light, and to share our love with every other thing in your creation. Amen. I've often heard that sometimes we pray with our minds and our words, and sometimes we pray with our hands and our feet. To pray is simply to have a conversation or engage in an activity that exercises our faith in a benevolent, listening, higher power. We have to have a conviction that someone is listening. And as we discussed in a recent sermon, God is listening. But God listens like a benevolent grandparent, not judging, not criticizing, not correcting, not just spying on you, but in great benevolence, hoping for the best for you. He wants to hear from us. God's not interested in just eavesdropping. Think about God like a good friend, a trusted confidant. God's happy to hear us talk about ourselves. God's happy to hear about our dreams and our joys, what we're grateful for, what we're concerned about, our needs for guidance, our anger, our struggles, our questions. But God also hopes that we will ask for assistance for others. We will ask that somebody be with them, to listen to them, to soften them, to guide them, to love them. You know, sometimes even I find myself judging people. Somebody walks by and I think, oh my Lord, why did they color their hair that color? Or my other pet peeve, why do they wear those jeans with the holes in them? And as I hear myself thinking that negative thought, I try to stop myself and say, it doesn't matter, Lord. Bless them this day. Bless them and bless their activities. I simply just try to change my perspective. So I guess the good thing is that I catch myself some days, not every day. I try to turn it around back to where God would want me to be, but in fact, I guess I've catch myself in full judgment of another person. So I have definite growing to do. And that's okay. That's okay because that's what we're supposed to be doing. You know, I can almost see that benevolent grandparent God when I make that first statement and say, oh my goodness. And I can see that look of, and then I turn it around and I say, might they have a blessed day. And I see that little smile. Whew, thought I was going to have to yell at her. But now I don't. There's a Christian growing over there. That's a good thing. It's a positive process. You know, years ago, I'd have not corrected that thinking. I'd have just passed that judgment and I'd continued on. And I suppose God was probably praying for me then. You know, I'm praying for our leaders and our teachers and our doctors and our emergency responders. Those for whom we place our confidence and trust can be difficult. But you know, they make the best decisions they can every day, and they make very difficult decisions. So I would encourage you, pray for them. Help raise them up. Help grow them into good Christians. Or into just thoughtful people. For not everybody's a Christian. But I'm always reminded that every religion has something that sounds very much like the golden rule or the greatest commandment. Love others as you love yourself. Do unto others as you would want done unto you. It seems that seeking a faithful and righteous behavior from our leaders requires more than silent prayer. Right now, it requires that we engage our leaders in ways that call upon them to be guided by their better angels. And so, we need to do that from a place of love and faith. You know, we generally understand the theological belief, the doctrine of, we call it the doctrine of divine sovereignty. The belief that God is omnipotent, all-knowing. The belief that God is omnibenevolent, all-good. And the belief that God is omnipotent, all-powerful. Essentially, it means even if kings and principalities hold sway over people on this earth, God is still the only one with true authority and power. It matters, moreover, how God in Christ Jesus uses this power and authority. And that's what the author of 1 Timothy is describing for us. We know that all humans are flawed, and that power often corrupts those who have it. When we look at worldly leaders now and throughout history, it's easy to grow discouraged by the shortcomings. But I think we also need to take heart in the magnificent leaders that have come along, some that we celebrate and some whose stories we're only learning now because they weren't kings or queens or presidents or diplomats. They were just people doing amazing work in their communities. I don't know about you, but my attention this week has been drawn to the activities around the death of Queen Elizabeth. But she was a leader who led for 70 years. And just think back to 1952 with me for a minute. It was a very different place. Very different place. There's so many things we didn't have in 1952 that we take for granted today. Holding one in my hand. I warmed up my oatmeal in one this morning. The world has changed a lot since 1952. And through it all, she was a leader who wasn't perfect, but she always tried to serve her people's best interests in the long run. She navigated changes in societal practices and beliefs. She always tried to make sure what would happen would long-term be an improvement. And I can only imagine that when she got to the pearly gates, she was greeted by, "Well done." Now, when I get there, I suspect the greeting is going to be a little bit more like the one from sitcom I Love Lucy. You got some splaining to do. So even those with true hearts for justice and care can often be deeply flawed. And this reality can leave us a little unmoored as we see it, and we don't really know whether or not to trust them. But this passage reminds us that ultimately, if we place our trust in Jesus, in the teachings of Jesus, if we foundate our life on love and on caring and on being inclusive, then that's what will get us where we need to go. You see, Jesus eats and talks with everyone, regardless of their social caste, their economics, their health, their age, their gender. He shows us that we are called to follow in his footsteps. And we're called to love all, no matter how they look, how they speak, how they act, how they sing, how they smell. They're all God's lovingly created people. And so that's why we pray for those around us, those in high positions, those in low positions, those we just meet on the street. Why not? I think that's what the early Christians hoped for. I think that's what Jesus hoped for, that we would live our lives in service and love and prayer. The author of Timothy employs four particularly and partially equivalent Greek words in the passage for prayer. They all create a little bit of slightly different nuance. The term diocesis, prayers for a particular need. We pray those. The word proseke, which are requests for help. The word entousis, bold requests. Oh my God, we got to fix this world. That's a bold request. Eucharista, prayers of gratitude. Eucharista. The writer made reference to almost every type of prayer we might pray, a particular need, help, something bold that is big and important, prayers of gratitude. First and foremost, I want you to pray for all people. Ask God to help and bless them. Give thanks for them. Pray for your leaders. Pray for everyone. Pray that we can live peaceful and quiet lives. Pray that we will be godly and holy. God wants all people to be saved. God wants them to come and to know the truth, the writer wrote. Pray for everyone who can help, who you can help, and help everyone to live a peaceful life. And we all have a little room to grow in our prayer life. Maybe adding others to our prayers won't cause our arm to fall off. Might not hurt us. I see the man on the sidewalk who looks homeless and he walks with a limp. Bless him, Lord. Keep him safe. Provide him food and warmth. I can't fix it. I can't fix what's happened to him, but I can say a prayer for him today. If I can help, I will. That would be even better. But if I can't, at least I will send him on his way, connected to God. In Genesis 2:19, God brings the animals one by one to the first human, and we read, "And whatever the human called that living creature, that was its name." See, that's the type of work we're called to do. Humanity working together with God as a co-creator, saying a prayer for those we encounter throughout the day. Psalm 113 that Dawn read ends with the same word with which it begins. Hallelujah. Forming a frame of praise around the words of the psalm, this hymn calls a community of believers to praise a transcendent God who cares enough for humankind to look down, to reach down, and to raise up the poor and needy. And so the question this begs for me is, will I step up to that challenge and reach down and raise up those who need a little bit of help, those who need a little bit of teaching, or a little bit of time, or a little bit of witness, or a little bit of kindness and forgiveness? Will I assist God in that work today? What I choose could change how much explaining I have to do. Amen.